All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, June 16th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Still time to grab that free trial. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month. After that, DFSR.com/MLB will get you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. Coming off a huge night for us in baseball. And some GBP sweats down to the end and then kind of just weren't able to get there. But alas, it's a new day on Friday. Buddy, Fridays for you, level of excitement, is it like in your old life when Friday was TGI Friday, or to you it's just kind of like another work day now where it's like, oh, baseball system tonight, and I don't know. Do you get excited for Fridays the same way you used to?
No. Just to put it short, mostly because Saturday is not my day off, and nor is Sunday. So right. Sunday is kind of like my Friday, because I take Mondays off. But yeah, I get excited because we get a full slate of baseball, and that's always fun. We don't have to justify playing complete losers like we do on half-day slates, like Thursday's afternoon slate yesterday.
Thursday's afternoon slate was brutal yesterday, and people were like, you know, we saw some people in the chat room like, Tillman, ? You want to play him? I'm like, I don't want to play any of these guys. You know,
like this thing. It's like the old, Jesus, what's that movie from the 80s? Oh, funny game. The best way, only way to win is not to play. What's that one?
Oh, War Games, dude.
War Games, yeah. War Games. Significantly, or if you guys can't see it, Doug is significantly older than I am.
Yeah, that was the computer name was Whopper. Yeah, starring Matthew Broderick. Yeah, that's an absolute classic. Anyway, yeah, they played
Tic-Tac-Toe. That was the third play for me. I put the lineups in, and then I was like, nah, well, cooler heads are going to prevail here. I'm just going to wait till the night times.
And it said, how about a game of geothermal nuclear war. All right, let's go to Friday. So today's the day. Today's interesting, right? Because I was looking at, well, first, actually, before I even looked at the pitching, I looked at the run lines, just scrolled down some of the Vegas odds. I was like, man, this must be a bevy of loser pitchers. These run lines are really high today. Like, there's a lot of fives, a lot of high fours. So I thought to myself, oh my gosh, we're going to have another day of just a bunch of loser pitchers, but that's not the case today. There are actually a lot of good pitchers going. I would say probably, 10 to 11 average or above average or even better pitchers going, and the run lines just are all trending high. I don't know if it's a weather thing, it's going to be hot. I don't know if it's just because sort of just the way things match up, but it does seem kind of crazy to me that like the run lines here, I would say, as opposed to average, like just like way higher. Did you get that same sense?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and I guess like I'm a little more bearish on the overall quality of pitching. There's definitely some pretty good guys, but I think it is pretty top heavy tonight with Scherzer and Severino, and then after that it drops off a bit. And then like some of the pitchers that I kind of like that I think are pretty good, like Carlos Martinez, Pomerantz, they're just in deathly matchups. So I think, and Paxton as well. They're just in these really weird spots, weird matchups. So it's kind of hard to pin down. Like, it feels like there's good pitchers, but in reality, I think there's really two guys I'm kind of choosing between the most.
Same with me, and we'll get to those guys in a second. I guess what I mean is, when I looked on the list, I kind of like, I guess the way my,
and I had thought about some Marta too. Yeah, there's some good
guys. Well, I was going to say, it's like guys that I've rostered on other slates before. I guess that's more of my thinking here. It's like,
so when I rolled up, not about, yeah.
exactly, right. And like, not just like, just kind of held my nose and just like turned the game off and checked back in a couple hours later to see how it went. Sure. But there's a list of, I would say, yeah, like that's where I get like the 10 or 11 guys. I'm like, we've rostered a lot of these guys before and just really just can't, you almost just can't consider doing it tonight. But like you said, because it's so top heavy. So the two guys you mentioned here are Scherzer and Severino. It's going to be a little bit different on DraftKings where you are going to struggle to get both of their salaries in. On FanDuel, we have them as the two highest raw points guys. Scherzer, though, is 12-4. Severino's 99. Where do you see them kind of like coming in the same relative to price at this point? If you had to pick one, I'm factoring in price here. Like, where you stand here between Scherzer and Severino?
Yeah, well, I think it's worth just kind of doing a tail of the tape between them and try to figure out where we want to land. The first things first is that Scherzer is simply Luis Severino plus 2 strikeouts per 9. So right away, my eye is going to go there first and try to see if we can somehow make that work. So then, of course, we go through and look at the matchup. Scherzer today has the Mets. The Mets are kind of an interesting matchup this season because they haven't been, like conventionally, they've been a very good matchup for right-handed pitchers in the last, say, 4 or 5 years. This season, that hasn't really been the case. They are a top 10 team in terms of WOBA versus right-handed pitching, and the strikeouts are down as well for them. Instead of being among that top 10 group, they're actually in the bottom 5. So the Mets actually represent a pretty tough matchup here. Now, it helps that he gets to go out to Citi Field. You know, that's a better pitcher's park than Washington is, but overall, that's actually just not a super spot for him. Then I go on to Severino. And Severino, I think, sorry, I just totally blanked on who he's, oh, Oakland, right. Severino, you know, he, like I said, he's not as good a pitcher as Scherzer. And on FanDuel, at least, though, he's more than 2,000 cheaper than Scherzer was. So, you know, my eyes are obviously going to perk up a little bit there. When we go down to the matchup, the A's actually this season are a top three team in terms of striking out versus right-handed pitching and are more middle of the pack. So as I really look closely at them, I think the $2,400 in savings and the significantly better matchup for Severino has me kind of leaning in that direction right now.
I think so, too. The Mets, I mean, the Mets have been, like you said, pretty decent against righties this season. And they've also kind of just struggled with injury. Like, I think Bruce was on the DL for a little bit. I believe Duda was on the DL for a little bit.
Both righty killers, yeah.
Exactly. And now that they're pretty healthy, I mean, and they're still without Neil Walker, so that's not completely 100% healthy. And I guess that's Drupal Cabrera. Man, they have really struggled with injuries this year. Jeez. I don't know if they've run a full-strength lineup. I wonder how many games they've even run a full-strength lineup. That being said, if they're going to start, if they're going to go Conforto, Granderson, Cespedes, Bruce, Duda, that's a pretty tough 1-5 for Scherzer. Now, I get that he's an elite. He's elite, obviously. He's one of the probably top five, best pitchers in baseball. But that's a tough 1-5 to kind of roll through. And they will that group will strike out. But, yeah, I think I'm with you. The A's... They really don't have anything in the way of lefty power. I know they've been hitting Brugman at the top of the lineup now. But after that, they go something like Jed Lowry. I know he's a switch hitter, not a ton of pop. Davis is a strikeout guy. Yonder Alonso, no, not really worried about that. And then it just kind of even gets worse after that. They could shift Joyce Joyce up to the top of the lineup. That lineup is significantly worse. Both of their run lines, the A's and the Mets, are right in that same area. And the savings you get on Severino is pretty significant, especially considering the amount of runs that are supposed to go. If Vegas could be believed here, that in the aggregate, the amount of runs that are going to go up tonight means that you will likely have to pay for some bats along the way in some spots. Now, the question is going to be kind of where, because maybe it's a situation where there's so many runs that maybe you just can't help but grab some of them like along the way. Yeah. But I do think that the like $2,500 savings you get on Severino matters. Now, on DraftKings, it's closer on DraftKings. Scherzer there is 12-9. Severino's 11-5. In this case, like, can you see a situation where you play Severino on FanDuel and Scherzer on DraftKings just because you don't get quite the savings on Severino over on DK?
Yeah, I was going to bring up the tighter salary spread on DraftKings as well. It certainly makes that case a lot, you know, a lot closer. And I think just the Scherzer's just, like I said, a flat-out better pitcher. I think also, you know, when lineups come in, accounting for the fact that there's a real Major League Baseball hitter batting ninth for Oakland and a pitcher for the Mets means that Scherzer gets that kind of built-in 11% advantage there in terms of opposition. So, yeah, I could definitely see playing Scherzer there. I do want to bring up one other guy, though, and that's Carlos Martinez. So I would love to get your take because I think you focus on the Vegas piece of this all this a lot more than I do. So Carlos Martinez this season, 10 strikeouts per 9, 3 walks per 9. So basically Severino's numbers plus a walk. And he has the Orioles today. Now the Orioles have been just basically bad against right-handed pitching. I mean, they haven't really been a great hitting team in general, but they've been flat-out bad against righties. You know, bottom 7 in the league in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching, top 10 strikeout team. Why do you think the line is so high for their implied run total tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. That confuses me, too. And it started lower and has been bet up. I looked to see if there was some wind stuff. The wind doesn't appear, at least for this evening, to be a huge factor. Like, it is blowing slightly out, but not, like, anything... Not like a Wrigley 21 miles an hour to left or something like that, where it could really boost the line. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you. I mean, it does seem to me like sort of like this is a theme across the board today with some of these runs, and I'm just struggling to.
It's like Friday the 13th or something.
I'm just actually struggling to fully grasp what the problem is, because you're right, Martinez's numbers this year have been not excellent, but like really damn good. So yeah, right, 10 strikeouts per 9. The walks are actually, he's getting a little bit better with the walks. He's a very good pitcher. He's a well above average pitcher, into the very good range of pitcher. I'm not sure.
Just absolutely blanked the Phillies. Like, two of his last three starts, I mean, he was fine against Cincinnati too, but two of his last three starts you can add up for 128 fantasy points. Like, he's been really good recently. So
yeah, I just don't know. I like to usually try to figure these things out. Or like, usually there's like some reasoning behind it where you can point to something, whether it's weather, whether it's, you know, the team got a guy back or something like that. I just can't find what the piece was, except to say at 4.42 implied runs, which is right around where Baltimore is now, has got to be the highest implied run line that Martinez has had this year, I think. I can go back and query this later, but that my guess is that he has not had any games short of maybe him possibly have been
at course 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
exactly. Short of that, and that's just like whatever. Those are like the outlier things I don't like, really worry about. But I'd be shocked if he had a run line higher than that. I'm not sure, and that's what these Vegas lines actually, because we do model, you know, part of our projections on Vegas because we do think it's like a kind of a good,
especially
catch-all
for the win and the loss, right? Like that's the major part of what's modeled off it is,
yes, correct,
that you get the win or the loss or the quality start, et cetera.
And that, you're right, and there are some pieces of what, you know, there are some pieces thrown in with implied runs, but I'm that, and this is why I spend so much time looking at Vegas odds, because I want to make sure that we're like kind of evaluating it properly. I am not sure, and like I said, it's just a total theme. I don't know, and that's why Severino and Scherzer kind of, at least for our system, and I suspect for most other people's systems as well, do stand so far head and shoulders above the rest. They're really the only two guys with teams with implied run lines lower than four. Like, yeah, for a full game, for a full slate of baseball with this many pitchers, that is an insane thing. Like, I don't get it at all. I do. My guess is we do see some shift somewhere today. Like, someone's going to get bet down, I bet. I don't know who it's going to be, but I can see a scenario where one of these guys does get bet down. Not into the same range as Scherzer and Severino. I think they have sort of have such a head start that it's just not. I can't imagine anyone really catching up because, you know, Severino mostly because of the matchup too. But no, I'm not. It's just a weird. You can hear me kind of stuttering here because I do find it to be just a very kind of odd evening. Is there anyone else that kind of stands? The work here is going to be starting pitcher two on DraftKings. I don't think, you know, Carlos Martinez 11-3 there as opposed to Severino 11-5. I don't think you really need to consider it. Is there a cheaper guy that we can maybe point to? Is there a cheaper guy on DraftKings that we can pair with one of these guys? Because I can't imagine we're going to spend $25,000-ish to play Scherzer and Severino together.
No, probably not. So I think there's a couple different directions you can go here. The first way you can go is just kind of slightly down the table, because I agree. Like, you're not going to play, I think on both sides, by the way, Carlos Martinez, just before we get off him, he's basically the same price as Severino on both sites, and I think that leaves him as the odd man out, because I think even kind of casual fans can do that math. I do think he's a very interesting big tournament play, and it wouldn't, like, there are so many scenarios where he outscores Severino tonight that I don't think he should be off your radar entirely, at least for big tournaments. But know that if you pick him in cash games, you're probably going against the grain, and yeah, you're just probably inviting variance, even if you think it's pretty close. So if we get off that train, if we agree that we're not going to pay 11-5 for our starting pitcher two on DraftKings, I think you can go slightly down the table and punt this to Carlos Carrasco. Carlos Carrasco at 9,400? Yeah, so that's a very reasonable price for what he can provide. Now, Carrasco's issues are kind of similar to Scherzer's in that he's up against the Twins. The Twins are actually a top six team against right-handed pitching this season, and that's not really a welcome spot, especially for a $9,400 investment. But the Twins do strike out. They're top half of the league in that regard, and while you still might not be able to afford it, I think if you're just looking, you know, because some percentage of our listeners and users of our site are just not going to go the $6,000 pitcher route. They just can't pull the trigger on it for whatever reason, and I don't think that's correct, by the way. I think it's often correct to go that route, but yeah, if you just want to go slightly cheaper, I think he's a good guy to consider.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about the matchup. Just with the Twins in general, he does get some of the money line in his favor, just considering the Twins are throwing at this guy Turley today. So the win for sure seems in his favor. I'm not so big on the matchup again, like. But this is the problem with all these guys, though, right? It's like, at least where the Vegas is coming in and all of them, at least Carrasco does have that -160 in his favor. One guy that I'm kind of looking at here, and I'm actually another, this is another one where I'm just confused maybe about what's happening in terms of Vegas just because of the matchup and, I don't know, just what the guy's done already this season, is James Paxton. So he's facing the Rangers. Mm-hmm. The Rangers are, just as a quick look, so far this year, the Rangers rank 28th in OBA, WOBA against lefty pitching, and they're striking out 27% of the time.
Jeez,
it's a total dream spot. And Paxton's been good this season, like striking out more than 10 for 9, keeping the walks under 3.51 xFIP. Those numbers are very, very good, and yet we look at Vegas and it's 4.8 runs for the Rangers today, and that could be like it's real hot. You know, when we get into the summer and more places than not get real hot and get just the air gets heavier, the balls do fly out. more, right? So there is something where weather starts playing a factor. I don't believe that it's going to be just like an insane heat wave across the majors. So I think it's like different things are factoring in different places here. 4.7 runs for me on the Rangers, like that seems just crazy high for a team that has not been able to hit lefty pitching this season really at all. And it's not like Paxton's just sort of like this middling lefty that is just walking in there and maybe like they're going to turn around against him. He's really good, right? And so I don't totally get it. I like the peripherals on him. I do think you're going to see someone in this mid-tier range, whether it's a Carrasco, whether it's a Mark, well, he's not in the mid-tier, whether it's a Carrasco, whether it's Wood, whether it's James Paxton, is going to have like a pretty big, I can see them having a decent strikeout performance for their price, and it's just going to be kind of hard to figure out who it is. I would put my money in that group on Paxton, at least in this point.
So you're going to play Paxton in your pitcher two slot on DraftKings? Is that what you're implying, or are you saying just another guy to keep on your radar in the?
I'm not positive I'm going to do it. I do think I can see him being a value in that spot for 8,800. Like that's a nice range for him considering what the matchup is. I would play him over Carrasco, I think.
I think that's a good call.
A couple other guys, the system's kind of keying in here just in terms of points per dollar. We can talk about the matchups aren't great, but they're coming real cheap. Aaron Nola, only 6,300 against the Diamondbacks. And then Drew Pomerantz, 6,700 against Houston. I guess Junior Guerra against San Diego. Any of those guys are like in the mid-6,000s range. Any of them stand out to you as seeing a value? I mean, they're kind of there for different reasons. Like Nola and Pomerantz are cheap, but they don't have the best matchups. And Guerra has a good matchup, but he's just like not the best pitcher.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nola and Pomerantz, it's actually a real shame. I would love to play either of those guys because I think their underlying stats are better than the kind of ERAs they produced this season. But they have two of the worst actual possible matchups. Nola against the Diamondbacks, who are flirting with the top spot in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching this season. Right now settling in at around fourth. They do strike out a decent amount, so I think that makes him a pretty interesting high upside guy. But you know, the trick with Nola is, while the peripherals have actually been really solid the last 2 years, he can give up the big inning. You know, like he lets things get away from him from time to time, and that's pretty troubling against a team that can really hit. That being said, if you are in a position where you have to pick between him and some of the other names that you're going to be picking between, it still might be a pretty decent place to land. As for Pomerantz, his strikeouts are actually sort of through the roof this season, almost touching 11, and that would be really great and everything, except for he's just against the Astros, who haven't struck out at all against lefties this season. The Astros are, their 17.3% strikeout rate is the lowest in all of the majors, so he's just not going to touch that 10.8 strikeout per nine number against them, and they've also just hit the ball really hard against lefties too. So it just seems like that seems like kind of crazy to me to settle in on that spot for your pitcher two slot, even though he's a pretty good pitcher.
And the thing about Pomerantz also, which you had pointed out, I forget who you pointed out this about the other day, but his K through nine is up, but his innings pitch per game is down. Like, this guy's really struggling to go far into games. He's only averaging five innings a start right now, and he has some 4 and 3 inning starts under his belt.
BABIP, right? Yeah, like yeah. 340 BABIP is 60 points higher than his career average, so that won't last forever. But yeah, no, agreed. It's that number will necessarily come down, because if fewer guys get on base, you face fewer batters per inning, and you know, if it's another 6% of his balls in play turned into outs, well, he would strike out fewer people because his innings would be shorter. So,
and then you get Junior Guerra. He gets of those three, he gets the very best matchup against the Padres. He is absolutely stunk this season, so that's his actually underlying issue, is that he just can't really pitch. But he has six Ks per nine, over 4.5 walks per nine. The xFIP is through the roof. Now, this is where you say to yourself, they're going to still continue to run him out there. You know, his matchup so far this year, it's not like he's had these crazy, terrible matchups. I mean, he faced Arizona, he faced the Mets, Colorado, and Arizona. I suspect he's not as bad as he's been this season. Like, he's not necessarily a good pitcher, but he was more like in a low fours xFIP kind of guy last season in 121 innings, which, look, that's not very good. But
cut to Junior Guerra blushing right now.
Yeah, but the Padres are complete garbage, though. And so sometimes you can just take... There are times where you can take, if you think a guy's going to get back into his like 7.5 Ks, low four xFIP for 6,000 on DraftKings, I'd probably take it. The problem is he just really hasn't done it this season, and that's the problem. So I think this, where this leaves us, is clearly Scherzer and Severino are the two clear cash game plays. I do like a situation, at least where they're in on the sites, where you can take advantage of pricing on either one. Like, you could play Scherzer on DraftKings for a little bit more and then just play Severino on FanDuel and sort of just, like, get your pricing inefficiency that, like, that's your, like, natural hedge, rather than, like, feel like you need to, you know, play them both or something like that on either side.
I like that.
You get, like, sort of a natural hedge by playing both sites at the correct price points, which I if I were to guess right now, that's probably what will happen, and then we'll spend the rest of the day trying to figure out starting pitcher two on DraftKings.
All right, and before we get on to Stacks, Doug, I do want to talk about In-Game Fantasy. They're our newest sponsor, and we've actually been having a really fun contest with our users this week where In-Game is giving away $5 for everyone that can manage to best you and I. No small feat, since you got lucky and got 2 runs in the first inning on Wednesday. But right now I am in 50th place out of 92, so basically giving away free money if you can beat me. Somehow Ashley G has scored 15 runs, but probably cheated. Anyway, so let's talk about how In-Game works. In-Game really is a brand new, like we talk about innovation in the DFS space in the past. In-Game really clears that bar in a totally different way, because the way it works is it's actually a live ongoing draft as the night progresses. So the contests start, you know, after lineup block starts on any given day, and then they go all night long. And basically what you do with In-Game is you don't draft your roster beforehand. You draft your roster based on matchups as the night progresses. So tonight you might grab some leadoff hitter against one of the teams that we're going to stack, but then instead of just having to lock him in for the rest of the night, you just get one at bat. And then in the same token, you can go and just grab a number two hitter in the next at bat, or you can wait and just try to grab Bryce Harper for all of his at bats. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can go with In-Game. And after you draft your players, you don't just get fantasy totals. They actually simulate a baseball game right there in the app. So, you know, if Bryce Harper hits a double, he's on second base. Your next batter is Miguel Cabrera. He tries to knock him in. So really cool, innovative product. In-Game Fantasy. .com. You can download the app and use promo code DFSR to get a $5 entry fee as well. So you could get up to $10 to play their innovative new app just by going in and entering this contest against us. so you can see us in the chat. We'll be talking In-Game tonight leading up to lineup block, I'm sure, and I hope to see you there.
All right, yeah, let's talk about some stacks we have going for today's games. Now, a couple things to note ahead of time. One is, obviously, there's a game in Coors tonight. The run line there is pretty low, considering, I think, how expensive the guys, the players themselves are, just because of the pricing bump they get by going into Coors. I think we can pretty much generally avoid, I think we can at least avoid the Rocky side of the ball. Samardzija is just a good enough pitcher. The run line's pretty low. Carlos Gonzalez himself is coming pretty cheap still on DraftKings, but other than that, you're not really getting... You're not getting insane value on any of the Rockies guys. I mean, on the Giants side of the ball, their run line is not as high. Sensatella is not necessarily a good pitcher, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that kind of creep up along, you know, over the course of the day. But as we mentioned with the pitchers, there's so many teams that are just projected to score so many runs today. I just don't think you need to pay a premium on the Coors bats. Would you say that's like in general correct tonight?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, also the Coors bats aren't really against the bad pitching that they might be in some of these Coors games as well. And while the line, you know, the 11 is the highest line on the slate, there's actually a couple that clear the 10 hurdle as well. So, yeah, I think you can get significant savings and just better lineups in general, especially because there is going to be some upward pressure on the pitching pricing if you want to fit Scherzer in, especially on FanDuel and even on DraftKings. You know, even if you decide to save on Scherzer and go cheaper with Severino or Carlos Martinez or whoever, you still... price is an issue tonight. I mean, it's always an issue, but I think that light is a little bit brighter given that there are some other good stacking options as well.
The other thing you're seeing, at least from our system going in, is, and this is pretty rare, even for a big slate, it's pretty rare, is that when you run FanDuel lineups, let's say right now, or when I did it a couple minutes ago, there wasn't a repeat of a play of any team. No team was represented more than once in the first, yeah, in the top lineup. That is very rare. That means that the offensive love is pretty spread out throughout the league. Now, that's not to say that where it's going to end up. Some things crystallize much later than they do early, clearly. But I will say that I've stared at this thing for more hours than probably is healthy, and I know when things look a little different, and this definitely looks different to me. Like, there's no things aren't just like sort of coalescing with one team. So that being said, where can we start to look for some value when it comes to stacks? You know, is there a team that we can want to kind of hone in on? Are we going to take more of like a one-off approach to just different guys in different situations? Where do we think you can start tonight?
Yeah, well, I think you can kind of I think for cash game purposes, we'll probably just go with one-offs, but I think it's always worth highlighting some of the, especially the more unusual stacks that you might see coming in on the top of GPPs tonight. And for me, I'm going to start actually with one that's a little bit off board, but Vegas actually likes this team as having one of the highest implied totals on the day, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Brewers today are up against Miguel Diaz. Diaz is kind of he's a really, really unusual pitcher in that until he came to the majors this year, he had never thrown a pitch above A ball, which is just, again, really, really strange. That's just not something you see very often. And he hasn't really had much success either. I mean, he's primarily pitched out of the bullpen, but 6.5 Ks per nine, 5.5 walks per nine, 5.9 xFIP. Like, this guy just doesn't seem like anything close to resembling a major league pitcher. And while maybe the Brewers, you know, not that they've been bad against right-handed pitching this season, they're not truly elite or anything, but they're fine. You know, they're a top 10 team against righties, and their big bugaboo, the strikeout, shouldn't play as big a factor against a guy who's struggling to strike guys out, even out of the bullpen. So I do think the Brewers, kind of up and down the lineup, you know, obviously kind of clustering around the heart of the lineup, make for a really good stack if you want to be, for a team that not the casual fan anyway, is not going to be super excited about.
I do think you see Eric Thames. He's still coming pretty cheap, only 3,300 on FanDuel. Strikes me as a pretty good play, hitting second in that lineup. The rest of the lineup is not necessarily made up of any guys that get you all that excited, like guys like Sogard and even Hernan Perez or Travis Shaw. Guys like this are not, they're just like not the most exciting guys in the world. That being said, 5.6-ish runs for the Brewers is about as high as they've probably been outside of Coors.
Oh, totally. Well, and that's the thing. And so that's what I mean by going off board. Like, yeah, Thames is going to be a chalk play. There's no question about it. He's had home runs in his last two games, and he's still very cheap. So he'll be universally owned almost, I would guess, just taking all the factors into consideration. But, yeah, I think that you can cluster the middle of that lineup, whoever winds up landing there, and probably get pretty serious separation for big tournaments. And, yeah, for a team that's going to score or that hasn't a 5.6 implied run total, that's a nice spot to be. And Shaw's not been bad this season either, by the way. He's, you know, 300 average, 11 homers. Like, he's a real hitter. And real hitters could just destroy guys like Miguel Diaz.
Shaw, he's getting a little expensive on DraftKings, 4,600. A little bit cheaper on FanDuel, though their prices don't correct any. Yeah, 3,700 on FanDuel, their prices don't correct any worse. So, no, that's a good point about him. And I do think they're in a great spot pretty much all around. The Dodgers are a team that I'm looking at here against Adelman. We've talked at length about this before, that after Colorado, Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark, plays for the second best power in the league. Now, it is behind Colorado pretty significantly, but again, they don't you know, you only get price corrected on Colorado. You don't get price corrected on any other park. It's a huge park upgrade for the Dodgers here tonight, facing Tim Adelman. They've you know, played sort of fast and loose with their lineup this year, moving things around. I do think you probably, you know, Seager's a guy you're definitely going to see in the two holes, so I wouldn't worry about that. If they move Chase Utley up to leadoff at 2,400 on FanDuel, that's a phenomenal value. I would actually just play him in cash games if he was hitting leadoff in that spot, but I wouldn't mind stacking it. Cody Bellinger's a guy, he's K-ing a lot, but he still continues to rake here. Prices come up a little bit on FanDuel, 38, but really kind of up and down that lineup. Even Justin Turner, who's a reverse splits guy against the righty Adelman, I don't mind that spot for him. Adelman has just not been very good for most of his career, and that doesn't seem like it's going to turn around anytime soon. So he's got
probably not tonight against the Dodgers.
Yeah, 130 innings of a 5x FIP and just, you know, less than 7 Ks per nine.
Yeah.
This is not a guy that's just going to be, you know, he's not going to be turning anything around anytime soon. So I do like the Dodgers, and not coming cheap just because some of their guys have been hitting enough that the prices have climbed up. Like, I'm thinking specifically Bellinger in this case, and Seager's just always going to be priced in the high threes just because that's just kind of what he does. But in general, I do like the Dodgers here. After the Brewers and the Dodgers, you want to throw out one more team? I got one more after that.
Yeah, we can. I mean, this is one of those nights where we could go even deeper probably. Well, real quick, say Seager again. Just trust me.
Seager.
Speaking of Seagers, Doug, I'm actually looking at the Mariners tonight. I was going to jump in with that, but then you just kept naming other guys. I wasn't listening. I was just hoping you were going to stop fast enough for me to jump in.
Or I would say Seager again for some reason. I would just
bring it up. Exactly. I was just waiting there, just locked and loaded, and it just never came through. But speaking of Seager, thanks for saying that. I'm looking at the Mariners tonight, too. You know, the Mariners, another one of these teams. And this is what I try to do for big tournaments, by the way. Kind of part of my process is targeting bad pitchers, and even if the opposing team, even if they don't have the highest run total, and Seattle actually does have one of the higher totals on the day, even if they don't have the highest run total or the biggest names, I do find that when you look at the top of the big tournament winning lineups, you know, a lot of times you'll see these double stacks of teams. that are a little bit less common, right? Neither Seattle nor Milwaukee are public teams, but I think you could double stack them tonight and potentially, and you know, take some good one-offs here and there elsewhere and be in pretty good shape. So what I like about the Mariners tonight is primarily that they're facing Tyson Ross. Tyson Ross took all of last year off. He came back this season. He was very bad in the minors. Four starts, 18 innings, 5 Ks per 9, 5 walks per 9. And he's a guy, he kind of like had his 3 deal with the devil seasons when he was in San Diego, where his ground ball rate jumped up quite dramatically and his K rate jumped up too. There's really no other precedent for him pitching that way, even throughout his career in Oakland or in the minors. And I suspect that he's going back the other direction now and going from, I mean, we talked about Cincinnati being a great hitter's park, but going from Petco to out to Arlington is a dramatic shift in park as well. And I think the righty killing Mariners can definitely do something against him here. So I really like the Mariners, even though, yeah, it might not be a bunch of household names you're going to throw out there in the lineup, but hey, guys like Cano, Seager, you can get some lefty bruisers in there that could really put up serious numbers in the warm Texas air there.
Yeah, I like Gamel still hitting leadoff there. So they're kind of back. They've kind of figured it out with Segura out, at least. They've kind of figured out where they want to be with their lineup, which is to stagger the righties and lefties all the way down, or lefty-righty-lefty kind of all the way down with Gamel, Haniger, Cano, Cruz, and Seager. That's a tough lineup to kind of run through, especially too when you get into the bullpen, because you're not going to see a lot of platoon shifts coming out. Like, you're not going to get these guys kind of getting pulled late in the game just because of the way they have the lineup set up. So no,
well, I'm with you. Cano and Seager can hit left-handed pitching if it goes in that direction. But yeah, that's a great, great point about the staggering of the lineups. Like, I would love to actually just stack Gamel, Cano, and Seager, and even if they're a little staggered, like, they'll frequently still hit with each other on base. So. I think that's a good insight.
And I think you can kind of lock up that that's going to be their lineup, unless they were to just, like, for some reason move Dyson back up to the leadoff, but I actually don't think that's going to be the case.
Oh, please, God.
No, they got to keep Gamble there. I like the Tigers here. I mean, again, we could probably, the list is long of teams that we can kind of take a stab at tonight, just because, again, there's just teams that the run lines are crazy. This has been the theme. But against Erasmo Ramirez, they're projected for just north of 5 runs. Nothing really more to say here except that Ramirez is not very good, and the Tigers, I know that it's a righty-righty heavy matchup, but that's just kind of always the case for the Tigers. They just, for some reason, have never, I mean, I guess Avila's hitting second now, just as their one lone lefty bat that can actually swing, but it's kind of been their theme for years now, is that they go righty-heavy all the way down the lineup, and they're just, I don't know if they're willing to live with it, or they just don't have any other options at this point, but the reverse platoon thing doesn't really worry me with the Tigers. Cabrera's still coming at a nice deal on DraftKings, at least. I think he went yard yesterday. No, yeah, he hit a home run yesterday. Tigers just continue to put up runs. So, yeah, Ramirez, again, for cash games, I believe we're just going to go one-offs. And then you are going to see some team here is going to put up a ton of runs tonight. Like, there's just too many just plus situations for it not to happen. Anyone else before we get out of here, or we just kind of roll with the teams that we mentioned?
No, I think that that's a pretty decent list to get started, but I also want to throw out the Indians tonight. They're up against Nick Turley, and Nick Turley is a really, really weird prospect because he was sort of a non-prospect forever until randomly last year, pitching just 35 innings for the Red Sox, getting 12 Ks per 9, although the control was insane. So he goes to the Twins this season. His strikeout numbers in the minors, and I rarely reference such a small sample size, but 52 innings. He struck out 14 guys per 9. That's really good. I know some of that was out of the bullpen, but it just doesn't seem to me, like, it seems a little premature for a guy who's just generally bad in AA to randomly promote him to the majors. He got kind of bombed in his first start, and it's a lefty-righty thing as well. The Indians this season have been quite good against left-handed pitching, mostly in terms of just never, ever striking out. So it's going to be one of those things where, is Turley's strikeout stuff legit, or is the Indians' ability to avoid striking out legit? I tend to think the Indians probably won't strike out very much and that they'll have their way with him, and Vegas tends to agree right now as well. They kind of fit that theme of lacking kind of the big name flashy upside that you want from your big tournament stacks, but there's plenty of guys in there that can abuse a journeyman lefty from the middle of nowhere. So
it's funny that you mentioned them, because they had been first on my list, and then I looked at his strikeout numbers and I kind of just moved on to the next couple teams, even though their kind of run line was pretty high. You kind of looked at it a little further than I did to look back and say that he's been around the minors
for a long time and not put up anything like what he's done.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, 2015, like, so he only pitched 35 innings in any stop last season because of injuries. In 2015, for the Giants, he had 19 starts. He went 7 Ks per 9 and 4 walks per 9. Like, all of a sudden, what? Like, he just takes a year off from baseball and gets awesome at it? Like, that's just not usually how it works. So I'm going to just – I don't know. Like, I wasn't out in wherever – Piscataway watching his games wherever he's playing them, but I tend to think that that's going to be more of an aberration than anything else, and he's not just like the second coming of Walter Johnson just yet.
Oh, deep Walter Johnson bowl. All right, we're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com for short, dfsr.com/MLB. We'll grab you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Buddy, full Friday in baseball, really interesting night, a lot of good pitchers and a lot of bad spots. Enjoy it, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Can't wait, man. Peace.